Welcome back, everyone, to Hello Ladies, Feminism and Pro Wrestling.
Hi, and do you all have a moment to speak about our Lord and Savior, John Cena?
Also, loyalty and respect.
Yeah, they do.
I'm Sabrina.
Hi, Megan.
And we're starting a cult.
Because apparently we decided that wrestling fandom is a cult.
It is a cult. Yeah. I think it came about because I was telling you the story about how I scared my chiropractor.
Yes.
Yeah. So I always bring a book with me when I go, like I have one in my car. So if I'm waiting for whatever, I always have a book with me. And I was going through a period of time where I was just reading true crime. So I kept showing up with murder books, which he took note of. Like he might've made a comment once or twice about it. I was like, oh, it's the book you're reading. And then I showed up one day with my murder book and wearing a cultaholic shirt and he stopped, like assessed for a moment. I was just like, so you read murder books and you like cults. And I went, no. This is a wrestling t-shirt. Did not make him feel any better. Like I could just see like the wheels again grind and him just be like, I got to get through this appointment. I'm not saying that's why he's no longer my chiropractor and I need to see somebody else at the practice, but he stopped wanting to be my chiropractor not long after that.
Seems like a coincidence.
Yeah. Yes.
I'll go with that. So yes, when she told me that story, I responded back to her, would you like to speak about our Lord and Savior, John Cena?
Mm-hmm.
Which Sabrina responded,
hustle loyalty and respect.
And I lost it for about a good 5 minutes.
Brian had to be like, what the hell?
I told him about it. He just shook his head.
We think we're funny and that's what matters.
Yes. If only one other person finds it funny, I guess all this is worth it.
Exactly. Yes. And I think that's all we have is like one other listener.
Yeah, our fan. I think my cousin. Shout out to Kevin Stone.
It's either your cousin or this guy I went to high school with, Jerry Manley.
No relation.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. You're like, that is my cousin.
No.
That would have been funny. Yeah, I added a bunch of people that I remembered liked wrestling and
there could be. My dad has an Uncle Jerry, but I don't really know the Manleys too well. But I'm sorry, that's another.
he's a principal at a school. I have, and when he was hypnotized on senior day, he danced to NSYNC. Yeah, it was bye bye bye, the whole thing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is my most like vivid memory.
To find out
of that man that he likes wrestling, so
there you go.
Yeah, but yeah, so I mean this week we did not have a week of let's do all the special things in wrestling, so
thank god.
Yeah, so where would you like to start?
You know, Brandy's probably a good place to start because yeah. That was pretty talked about before. That was like the big thing before the Forbidden Door stuff came out from Tony Khan's tweet. So we can maybe start with Brandy and work our way up to the Forbidden Door.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is one of the biggest things that they're talking about, I think, this week. And
yeah, there's a lot of speculation and a lot of
toxicity.
Yeah. That and a lot of like, come on, guys, really? Like, there's no way Shane McMahon is showing up to AEW, but we'll get to that later.
It's clearly Mae Young back from the dead because she misses Mark Henry.
I mean, I think give a better chance of seeing that than Shane McMahon coming through those doors.
Or Triple H. I've been seeing a lot of Triple H. He's not medically cleared to like go into an office yet, but he's going to show up on AEW.
I mean, he's married to Steph, no matter like how mad he might be at Vince, if he even is, for how much Vince has just murdered NXT. Mm-hmm. He's not going to go to the competitor. It's just, I don't know. Wrestling fans are weird.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
Cult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cult. I think that's why Cultaholic went with that name, honestly.
Very possibly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cult of Personality and it all.
Oh, yeah. Keeps going. But yeah, so the segment on, it was Dynamite, right? Yeah. Where Brandy... Brandy just exists and people boo her for whatever reason. I have theories. I think it's because she is a Black woman in power, quite honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
I
also think because people equate her as the Stephanie McMahon of the company, and Stephanie always gets booed. So, because, you know, Cody portrays himself as like the Triple H of the company, you know, the throne, the golden shovel that he's taken out, the sledgehammer, like they're all shots at Triple H.
Yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily him portraying himself as Triple H or him.
Not him doing it, but the fans do.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that like they kind of like fans kind of equate Cody and Brandy to like a Triple H and Stephanie. So since Steph gets booed the moment that her face is shown, they do the same thing to Brandy. I think that is also a part of it, but I think you're also right that a large part of it is that she is a Black woman in power too.
Because like the other thing, if you were to compare them to Triple H and Stephanie, Brandy would be Triple H and Cody would be Stephanie. Like, he comes from the wrestling family. Brandy married in. And I mean, like, you can, she's not a bad announcer or interviewer. Actually, she's a fantastic interviewer. If you've seen a shot with Brandy or shot of Brandy, highly recommend that Orange Cassidy interview that she does is the most you will ever get out of that man. That's apparently the trick. Like, if you want him to like talk and interact in interviews, he would. I was gonna say cooking, but yes, give him alcohol. That'll do it too. I think they had screwdrivers. I think it was vodka and orange juice.
Nice.
I'm allergic to oranges. So that would murder me.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was a very sad day when I found that out. But
those two are also chief branding officers of both of their respective shows too. So there are slight similarities that I can see why people would be like, oh, the woman in charge, boo, we do that for both companies. Like,
and why do we boo the women in charge?
Well, I mean, I boo Steph too.
Well, yes, but I mean, you're supposed to boo Steph.
Also with Brandy, like, I love Brandy Rhodes, but there's also the thing I've seen a lot of people say, and I agree with this. It's like, what are you? Are you a face or are you a heel? She's a weird tweener, but isn't trying to be a tween. There's something like, I don't know what direction she's going in. So I can get why there's some legit criticism that I could agree with that I see people say instead of like, ew, boo, hater. When people have like an intelligent, like, well, I don't know what she's trying to be. Is she a face or is she a heel or is she a tweener? Sometimes she tries to be like all three. That I understand. If you don't like her because of that, then yeah, that's totally, I can get that.
So from watching Roads to the Top, it seems like she wants to go with the heel because she's like, people are just going to boo me anyway. So she's just like, might as well embrace it. But I don't know if she's getting direction elsewhere or if that was just something for that show or what, but yeah.
There might also be some carryover from New Japan when she would get involved in Cody's matches. And, you know, a lot of fans that are fans of AEW did start with watching people in New Japan, Ring of Honor.
I don't know why you would say that.
And like,
nobody knew who Cody, the Young Bucks, or Kenny Omega were, or anything in New Japan.
They were just a t-shirt company. But I can get that too. There are people that still may hold that like, ooh, Brandy, she's going to interfere. Boo. You know, like,
which is so bizarre because I mean, can you imagine holding that on anybody else? Like holding someone's character from one company to another and assuming it's going to be the same.
Well, I kind of hope so with Kenny. I wanted the cleaner. So I can kind of relate there.
You can, but you also accept that like he is, I mean, I'm sure he will resurrect at some point, but like, most people understand that characters are characters.
It's still real to me, damn it. That's the only answer. I've been posting that gif in so many comment sections lately because that's my only response to people anymore is just that
like I'm very seriously considering leaving the like one AEW group because it's so toxic on Facebook, and the insanity, like they keep saying like, oh, it's definitely going, Johnny Wrestling is coming back. He's not coming back until after his wife has the baby, and probably until the baby gets all of her shots. Like, he probably wants to see all those milestones mm-hmm. and stop being an asshole and let him experience fatherhood.
Yeah. She's due this month, I think. I think that's so. What they said when on Twitch, that she was due in February.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's not her. It's not him tonight.
No,
that's not saying he's not going to show up to AEW. I'm convinced he's going to.
Yeah.
But
not tonight.
No, I don't think it's gonna be tonight. I don't think we'll see him until maybe not like until the summer pay-per-view.
Yeah, maybe the end of the year. Because again, like, it depends on how much he wants to like catch. Mm-hmm. Like, babies are only babies for like a very short period of time.
Yeah.
So, and they're also, I mean, there's still a pandemic going on and they have no immune system. So but
he's not gonna risk his child's health.
No, absolutely not. And then there's also a lot of people think it's going to be Keith Lee, which it might be. I mean, he did just get married, but there's some people suggesting the photo that Mia Yim posted of Keith Lee and her is on a boat, like supposedly like on their honeymoon. Mm-hmm. People are like, this is from a long time ago. Maybe. But like
they could be back. Like, I mean, we only took like a tried to take a 3-day honeymoon, and
yeah,
I mean, there could be a chance that he'll. I mean, there's already like heavy rumors that he already has signed. So mm-hmm. I personally think if it is going to be an ex like WWE NXT person, it's gonna be Keith Lee. Yeah. I think that is the most likely option. If it's not an ex WWE or NXT guy, I know who I hope it would be. I would love to see Okada or Jay White. Honestly, Ospreay would even be cool mm-hmm. too. But they're also signing a contract, this person, with AEW. So I can't see New Japan allowing one of their top people to sign a contract with AEW and New Japan, unless they really worked out some crazy deal.
Yeah. Especially with, again, with the pandemic not being like completely flatlined. So I'm hoping, I don't think it's this person, but I'm hoping it's Ember Moon, because I just miss her.
Yeah.
I just miss her so much. But we've talked about this with the exception of Ruby Soho. Tony Khan does not make a big deal about women premiering. Mm-hmm. Like,
he doesn't. They just randomly show up.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with people randomly showing up, but it says a lot when the owner of the company never hypes up the women who show up.
Yeah.
And it's only
there's never a cryptic tweet. There's never like forbidden door posts. There's never anything that gets people hyped up for like a week beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
The only exception I can think of is Ruby. That's it.
Because even like, I mean, Mercedes Martinez is
just showed up.
And like the only two that really come like through the forbidden door since then, since other than Ruby, were Mercedes Martinez and Maria Shafir. And MMA fans might get excited for her, but it's about it.
Yeah.
Whereas Mercedes has like a, like she had a history like long before like WWE, like she was known on the indies and everything else. So like it would have made sense for her to have like some whisperings.
Yeah. And there wasn't. It was just like a boom, here she is.
Mm-hmm. Like, interfering in this match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, I mean, is a good way to get her inserted into, you know, a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it would be nice for once for, like, a woman to have that hype. That, because, I mean, women's wrestling is equal. Like, it's not bra and panty matches anymore. It's not, like, mud matches, any of that crap that it was even, like, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the same level. I mean, we main event. We've main event at WrestleMania twice. Yeah. Like, we've main event at pay-per-views and Raws and SmackDowns and Dynamites. And there's no reason why a woman can't get that same hype, because there's enough women stars that people want to see, that people, you even see in comments that people, yeah, when they're naming like the Keith Lees and the Okadas and the Crosses, they're also naming like women along with it too. Like, mm-hmm, you know, this is a controversial one, but Tessa is one that people are constantly saying that they want to see or do not want to see. It's very,
I think it's so funny that people, after they didn't bring in Brian Kendrick, mm-hmm, that they're like, Tessa Blanchard, I think it's her. Really?
Yeah.
That's, you think? Okay.
Probably not. I mean, that's a bad example, but it's still a woman that people are, you know, that they're saying that they want to see. I've seen people say Ember, that she's, yeah, another one that they, I mean, she's incredible. Mm-hmm. And she just had a very unlucky and like series of injuries that happened, yeah, in her run that really held her back, because they really were trying to push her, you can tell.
Yeah.
And it just
fell apart.
Yeah, it just fell apart for her. And I think that she would flourish in AEW. I think, mm-hmm, she would do well there.
I think she would do very well there. Yeah, and they've mentioned others, like people have said like Scarlett, but you know, like if you get Scarlett, you get Karrion Kross. Mm-hmm. And we know which one of the two of them would be like the bigger deal signing. Although like I've seen interviews of the two of them, they're such like a cute little couple.
Yeah.
Little, like they're tiny people, you know. So I don't know, like I kind of wonder like what happens one of these days, one of these hyped things aren't going to go well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it already didn't. Remember when it was, oh god, I'm blanking on his real name, Big Show's,
oh, Paul White.
Yeah, thank you. When that debut, like everybody was expecting, I think that was back when everyone was just like, it's Punk, it's gonna be Punk. Yeah. And then it wasn't, and it was like, wah, wah. Like that was kind of a blunder, because mm-hmm, they hyped that up too. And I mean, nothing against him, I've loved him since I was a kid, but I mean, he wasn't as big of a deal as they were hyping that up to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big deal. Yeah,
but and I hate saying that because I heard he's like the nicest person. I don't,
oh yeah, he, yeah, yeah,
I don't want to say anything bad about him because he's not a bad guy. I just, no, mean like as far as the hype, it didn't feel like it was going to be someone from the Attitude Era. It felt like it was going to be someone more current, mm-hmm, and that people wanted to see currently wrestling.
The problem is like prior to CM Punk making his debut, anyone that you would advertise,
it was immediately Punk.
Immediately Punk, and everyone was pissed that it wasn't.
And then it was Bryanson, or well, then it
Bryanson,
was,
yes, then it was the Dan, famous wrestler Bryanson.
That is the second time I have done that in this podcast. Yeah. And then it was Danielson.
That's gonna be his new character, oh Bryanson.
God, I just,
but yeah, that's one of the problems with like building something. I think eventually what's going to happen is they're gonna be like a real backlash against Tony Khan because of that. Mm-hmm. So he might want to tone it down. And the other thing, like people are, I don't want to say people are getting sick of debuts, but people are starting like they're happening so frequently. Mm-hmm. It's not special.
Yeah.
It's like celebrating your birthday every month.
Because we just had what? Brody King, right? Just a couple, oh, yeah, just a couple weeks ago. That was what, like 3-4 weeks ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that long ago.
I mean, honestly, they easily, and I mean, Mercedes Martinez was another.
That was the same night, wasn't it?
Maybe. That's the other thing. They got to stop doing that.
Yeah. The only one that worked, yeah, was when Adam Cole and, yeah, Bryan Danielson came out, because you just did not, like, everyone wanted Danielson so badly, but when Adam Cole's music hit, it's like, all right, cool, I'll take this too. This is, yeah, awesome. And, you know, Adam Cole came out, and like, as soon as Kenny said the thing about like, what did he say? Like not even a ghost or something like that. And I remember Brian and I looked at each other and we're like, oh my God, it's Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, cool. This is the debut this night. And then when that music hit in the beginning and it was, you know, so similar to his old music. Yeah. And we're like, no, there's no way they're doing like both of these in the same night. And like that worked. But some of the other ones were like, you'll have a hyped up one, but then you'll just have a random that pops up earlier in the night. Like,
which, can you imagine like how awful that must be?
I know, you're like, I'm the afterthought.
So glad I'm here now.
You're one little like half deflated balloon.
Someone comes along, pop. This is not like, so I'm clearly sitting here, we're both sitting here wearing AEW shirts, so it's not like we dislike AEW, obviously.
No, but I'm a complete, you know, mark, as the kids say, for AEW. I'm not gonna lie, I shit on WWE a lot more than I do on AEW.
They both like have weaknesses, but they're not, generally they're not the same.
Yeah,
like they have, yeah, they just have differences. They could learn a lot from each other.
I feel like AEWs just slightly annoy me sometimes, whereas to WWEs makes me not want to watch it ever again. And the only reason I started watching is because I started doing this podcast with you. Because you know that I've been saying like, nah, mm-hmm. I didn't even watch Raw tonight, or no, I'm not watching SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And like, even now, my poor husband, he's like, I'm being forced to watch Raw against my will.
There are good segments, but you know, it's a thing.
Yeah.
But like, so one thing that WWE gets criticism about is how like their secondary titles often don't feel great. Right now, AEW is suffering because they've only promoted their secondary titles. I sometimes forget that Adam Page is the AEW champion. It's of no fault of his own. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not being booked at all. And if he is, he's talking, and he's not a heel. Like, a heel can do that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, Kenny Omega heel. Yeah, he can get away with that. If MJF were like the champion, I would expect that. But like, you expected Page to be a
fighting champion.
And he clearly wants to be. He's just not being booked that way.
Yeah, I don't think that they know how to handle a pure babyface champion, because I think I said this before, Jericho was a heel when he was a champion. Moxley, yeah, was a babyface, I guess, but he was more of like a tweener, you know, like mm-hmm. his own thing. Like, he wasn't a face, he wasn't a heel, he was Moxley. He came in, kicked ass, and went home. Like, that was...
I don't understand what Wild Thing is his. I feel like that's more of a, I don't know why, but I feel like it's a more of a woman's entrance song. I don't know why.
His New Japan theme is fire. I wish that they can use that, because that is my favorite. But yeah, I'm not really a fan of the Wild Thing either.
Yeah,
I mean, if he likes it, I guess that's all that matters. Like,
I don't know. I feel like you would need to have like a more old timey gimmick or something.
Porn to be wild.
Like, you know, I could almost see him pulling that off.
Yeah, I don't like it either. But yeah, he wasn't like a pure, you know, baby face where, you know, like Paige is. And then mm-hmm. Kenny was a heel champ. He was the mm-hmm. belt collector. He teased the cleaner, like, he was just a pure, he was a heel. And then now you have this like pure, wholesome, like anxious millennial cowboy, like just the definition of a baby face, like good looking, pure, like just wants to fight and doesn't cheat, like all of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they know how to book it. They haven't, like, they're just not booking it right.
No. It's been a very disappointing title run, and it looks like it's not going to be a very long title run.
And it's sad too, because that was their longest storyline that started before AEW was like on TV. Like, that mm-hmm. started at their first pay-per-view the summer before they got on TV, when he fought Jericho for that belt and lost. And or no, that was not the summer. That was the month before. Mm-hmm. Well, still technically summer, but it was before like Dynamite started. And then, you know, BTE with the whole like separating himself from the rest of the Elite, and like it was a 2-year story. And then when he won, it felt like fantastic. Like, he poured out the alcohol, the Dark Order was raising him up, and you were like, yes, it finally happened. And now it's like,
womp womp.
And it's not Hangman's fault. He's doing a great job at what he's been given.
Yeah.
But he's not being given much.
No, He's really, truly not. Like, I would almost rather see him facing jobbers every week.
Right? Something. Like, anything.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, it's just, I hope they fix it. Mm-hmm. But I think their fix is going to be Adam Cole being champ, which I'm not upset, like, with Adam Cole becoming champ, but I'm upset with Hangman's reign.
I don't think it's going to happen soon. I think that they're going to let this build, because this is a story that a lot of people want to see because of Cole and Paige and their past relationship mm-hmm. before AEW, which could really make for good storytelling. And they can, if they do this right, they can play this all the way to All Out. Like, they can make this go all the way to the next pay-per-view.
When is that supposed to be?
All Out is in September, I think. That's the one, that's their big one.
But they have to have another one come, like, we're
oh yeah February. They do have another one in March. I mean, okay. Like, they can build this all the way to that one, because
right. For a second I was like, they're having one pay-per-view a year now.
No, what's the next one? Double or Nothing, is that the next one coming up? Or
sure,
Revolution. I don't know, I forget their order of pay-per-views, but no, the next one's in March, and I think that's probably when we'll see Kenny again. I think that might all start tying into the whole Elite and Hangman, and I think that it's going to end up being like Undisputed, whatever they're going to be calling themselves in mm-hmm. AEW, against the Elite. And I think maybe this Undisputed 2.0 might bring in another person. And that could be someone that's coming tonight. If it's Keith Lee, that can be someone that's going back with his NXT buddies, and they have their little faction against the Elite's little faction. And
it could be. I also think that Keith Lee, if it is him, I want to see him go against War Daddy, as we said we were going to start calling him.
War Daddy.
That those men holding those signs in Ohio, man, like, hysterical.
Oh man,
I think I saw him wearing, doesn't he have a shirt now that says War Daddy?
Does he?
Or maybe he just put up something that was, I don't know.
I just think of Lore Olympus, if any of you other nerds out there read that. Every time I hear War Daddy, because that's like the fandom name for Aries.
So I'm a Xena Warrior Princess nerd. And anyone who's ever seen Xena, Girl of the 21st Century.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Memory unlocked.
Core memory unlocked. But the actor who played Aries was smoking hot. I had a very big crush on him when I was a child.
I used to watch that show when I was small, but I, honest to God, I can't remember anything. Oh, we have a visitor.
Yes, back again. Yes, hello.
Yeah, I had a little surprise on my knee, a little pet me, please.
How about you, dear?
Hello.
Don't rub up against the microphone. This is an ASMR. Okay.
We don't do that here.
Ma'am. It's okay.
Ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
Yeah. She heard like a car beep, and that was enough to make her go. I don't know if you heard it. I felt her growl. She's hilarious. I almost forgot too about the special guest. Maybe remember our segment about like weird wrestling things that we have. But did you want to say anything else about Hangman Page?
No.
Well, Hangman Page is one person, not two.
Hangman or Page. Oh, I don't know. There's enough Pages and Cages and Adams and everything in AEW right now. Yeah. So
it's a lot. Someone really needs to just be like, I'm sorry, I'm putting my foot down. No more.
No, I think
Brody Cage, like, no more.
Yeah, I think I pretty much got everything off my chest that I need to about how badly he's been booked.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you'll appreciate this from this. So this is a WWF game. I found this at a flea market as an adult, which is why it's in this. But there's like a cord that you can take and hook them up so you can play your friends. And the graphics are quite nice. I mean, it's WWF. This is from 1999.
Oh my God, those graphics are from 99. They were not trying hard.
Oh no.
I thought you were going to say like 94.
So it says on the back, like, look for other World Wrestling Federation games. Steve Austin versus The Rock, Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon, and Steve Austin versus Mankind. These are all different games. It's Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You know, the only wrestler they had in the 90s, Stone Cold.
And it's this Undertaker. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Stone Cold had a little bit of a mustache. Yeah, I've thought about before taking this out, but I'm like, ugh, I'm sure, like, since it has the, like, try me thing, whatever little batteries were in here have definitely, like, destroyed this. So yeah,
something like that I'd keep in the package, you never know.
Yeah, but yeah, this is one of the weird things that I have. It was floating around my attic.
That's cool.
Found it at a flea market. I think I paid like maybe $10 for it.
Oh wow, get out.
Yeah, fully interactive.
Best I can do is $500. Not a penny more.
Not a penny more. Yeah, I was just like, $10, really?
Yeah, I gotta frame it. I got bills to pay. I got
bad things to do. It does not come though with the little cord. Like, I'm looking at this, I don't see the little cord. I guess that's sold separately.
I think it might. It should have been in there if I had to assume anything.
Yeah, that would make sense. Like, it looks like it looks like someone bought this for the cord, maybe. Because maybe they had two others and they lost the cord.
Possibly.
Which tells you how expensive that stupid cord probably was back then.
Man, that thing was probably like $40 even back then.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've never seen anything like it since then or before.
No, it's pretty cool though.
Yeah. Yeah. Undertaker versus Stone Cold.
And again, I have nothing. This is my nothing to show. If you'd like, I can bring in my Avatar The Last Airbender stuff, but that would be a different podcast.
This segment is directed completely at Kenny Omega.
No, that'd be my Undertale stuff.
Yeah. Quite the connection.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess the only other thing I have to, well, I guess two things that I'll do this one first. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I messaged you about this.
I didn't want to sit by it.
So I read JR's second book first. So I was like, oh, that was delightful. I will get the first book. I'm sure it's great and not at all traumatizing and will make me look at JR like a completely different human being. So, I mean, you can see how far I am. I'm here at the very beginning. Like, 20 pages,
say like 30 pages at most.
Oh, not even 13. Oh. First chapter. 11-year-old Jim Ross tells a story about how his dad's prized dog he was allowed to like take care of, it was added to his chores list, felt great. Well, her son, the dog, another dog, mated with his mama on his watch and puppies resulted. And his father could not sell these puppies. So he made JR kill the puppies. And like, what makes it worse, I'm not going to describe how they were killed for Man, but like,
thank you.
They, what makes it worse is that he takes and like tries to turn this story around with the puppy murder. And just as like, that was the day that I learned what my father wanted me to, that every action has consequences. And then they went and got, his father took him to the movie theater to see a movie. I don't think his dad didn't see the movie with him. He like
dropped him off.
Yeah.
Go see your nickel movie, son.
Enjoy. Here's 10 cents for popcorn. Like, I
mean, I know that things in the olden days in the South were done a little differently, but I can't imagine at any age killing puppies. I just, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I just remember my response to that was just, oh no, 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 no. When you messaged me that.
Yeah. And like, he was just like, and he has a point of like, there wasn't like, he couldn't walk to like a humane society and drop them off, but like, I personally would have said no.
Yeah.
Even if that meant I got my ass whooped.
Yeah.
And I certainly would not tell that story ever, but let alone within the 13 pages of my first book. Like, and this is the best part is, I believe, yeah, so he dictated this to Scott E. Williams. That poor man.
Oh, traumatized.
Yeah.
I would be traumatized.
Also, the foreword is by Vinnie Mac in this book. How about his good friend, JR?
Oh, yeah.
Whereas the second book is basically JR saying how much he hates Vince McMahon for many pages.
Whoops.
I'm pretty sure Vince McMahon has one thing over JR, and that's not that he's not a puppy killer. Maybe.
We don't know. I mean, he could have killed other things. You never know. Like, he's killed enough careers. Oh, ba-doonch.
This is true. So yeah, I don't recommend this book. I don't know. Yeah. My childhood was like shot.
Yeah, if you're like an animal lover or, you know,
not a sociopath.
I mean, I guess there's people that live on farms and stuff that put down animals that are probably like, oh, that ain't no big deal. And but I knew, like,
yeah, I guess. But
there are people that live differently than we do, that they see stuff and read stuff like that, and they're like, that's common for them to do that.
Usually, so
if they're like, runts are gonna die, was that, I don't even want to know if they were like,
his dad couldn't sell them.
That was the only reason.
Okay. That was why he couldn't sell them.
Just give them to somebody.
Give them to somebody.
Give a child a puppy. There you go. Merry
lots
Christmas.
Of options. Yeah. He's just like, because like the dog that he had, he would breed her and like they would sell the puppies, which, okay, fine. I can understand being upset that like you've lost hundreds of dollars. That there's no need to kill the puppies and like do that to your son.
No.
Like, what a monster.
Yeah.
What a monster.
Oh, okay. Moving on, because that's just depressing.
Yeah. So the other thing is that I stumbled across by watching Danhausen's YouTube channel, which I do as well. There was a segment he did with the Ass Boys, and Austin Gunn started going off about who's the younger one. I believe he's younger. He's the shorter one. Started going off about how he's on a reality show on E! And da da da. And I was like, what the hell is this? I looked it up and then I watched it. It's called Relatively Famous. And basically,
thanks for taking one for the team, by the way.
Yeah, it's celebrity kids, like kids of celebrities who are adults now, ranging from, I think it's like 34 to 24. And they go out onto a ranch and they learn ranching for a month. Now, immediately, like just hearing it, I was like, Billy Gunn's son is probably going to be the least famous child. And he's one of the more famous children of a celebrity. His father is one of the least famous.
He's a Shaq's kid's on there.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a piece of work. Like Shaq's kid thinks that he's afraid of birds, but he also thinks that birds are made by the government and they're not real animals.
I can't believe he's not memeing. Like I joke about that online. Like I will joke and say like birds aren't real,
mm-hmm.
but that's not something I honestly believe.
Yeah. Like Pat Benatar's daughter's on there. Her and Austin Gunn hook up.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says in the like his confessional thing, like, I can't believe I'm hooking up with Pat Benatar's daughter. And I was like, oh, she's gonna see this anymore.
Yeah.
But who knows how much that is. But, what is his name? Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh.
His kid is afraid of everything. He has lots of phobias, but it also has a very serious alcohol problem. Well, That's how he copes with his anxiety.
If your dad, you know, used to wear the vial of blood of his wife as a necklace.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that definitely screwed him up. Not just that, but he said like his life changed dramatically because suddenly anywhere he would go with his dad and Angelina, like they were just mobbed with paparazzi.
Yeah.
And he was like a little kid then. So it really freaked him out, understandably.
Yeah, that has to be
traumatizing.
Yeah, you don't understand that as a kid. And like paparazzi are brutal. Like mm-hmm. they're brutal. I mean, they kill Princess Diana, you know, yeah. like they'll do anything to just get a stupid picture of somebody. So that's got to be terrifying for a little kid.
Oh yeah. I mean, they broke Britney Spears, like.
Yeah, shaved her head because she was sick of people like touching her and looking at her. Like,
mm-hmm. And then people acted like she was nuts.
You know, I remember thinking like it was insane when it happened. And then like the older I got, I was like, okay, no, it wasn't that, like, it wasn't that insane. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I totally get it.
You're like,
and then when more stuff came out about her whole life, like mm-hmm. not to turn us into a Britney podcast, but like I was never a Britney Spears fan. I was never into that stuff. Not like really boy bands and either of them. I was, you know, your typical little anti-pop, like little grunge chick when I was little, like, well, not little, but like a teenager.
My lunchbox was covered in Spice Girl stickers.
Well, I did like the Spice Girls, I will admit that. But
you can't escape them.
I was 13 years old and my favorite groups were the Smashing Pumpkins, Bush, Real Big Fish, Blink 182, and the Spice Girls. So that'll give you a little bit of insight into who I am.
And Spice Girls.
I was never into like Backstreet Boys, and I was like one of those girls that used to like mock the girls and the boys that listened to it. And I'd be like, please listen to real music. Now I'm not that snobby, but like I've grown up. So I made jokes about Britney when it happened in 2007. I'm not going to lie and say I didn't. And now that I got older, I'm like, okay, that was A, really shitty of me, and B, I totally get it. And like,
I was right after I think everything like that happened, like the shaving her head and whatnot. I was in a women's studies class and we discussed it. And like, I think because of that, it really shaped my view of the whole thing. Like when people started the Free Britney movement, I was like, well, yeah, like clearly we watched the destruction of this woman. And you can watch that same kind of destruction still happen. It doesn't happen on the same scale. Like you just watch it. Like, so there's a lot of reasons why people don't like Ronda Rousey, but the people who don't like her because when she was in MMA and like broke down all those barriers and she was like the top woman in MMA. And they said, well, she needs to be taken down a peg. Like she's too confident. Mm. No one said that about, like, let's say Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
They were probably afraid to.
I would never say anything bad about that man because I value my life.
Yes.
Out loud, I would never say anything bad about that man. I like to live.
I like to live as well.
Moving on.
Yes. But like you saw like people like rooting for her to be destroyed simply because she was a strong, confident, successful woman. Lots of stuff has come out since then. And, you know,
yeah, I have many other reasons I don't like her, but yes, that was not one of them.
Yeah, that's its whole other thing. I remember when I was in grad school, I did not live with these people very long, but right after it came out like that Chris Brown attacked Rihanna, I remember my one roommate who was a woman saying, look, someone needed to like put that bitch in her place. And I was like,
whoa.
Yeah. And I was like looking at my other roommates who I just met, like, and they were all like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, this isn't gonna work. Like, nope. I'm getting my master's in women's studies with a concentration in violence against women and children. This is not
not only do like I have always loved Rihanna. No human,
yeah.
Like no one should ever be beaten by their partner, mm-hmm. man or woman or non-binary. Like no one should ever be beaten by their partner.
Yeah.
There's no reason or excuse for it.
No, there's absolutely nothing that someone can do to
deserve it.
That. Yeah.
Like no one should say like they deserve it or about time. That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause the only time where I think abuse is not even acceptable, but understandable, is when it's in retaliation for abuse. Like when the person snaps and they like retaliate. Ideally, you wouldn't get to that point, but also I don't feel bad when that happens.
No, if you're being beat by somebody for, you know, months or years, and finally you get to that point where you're like, no more, mm-hmm. then yeah, that's not you. That's defending yourself. That's a different situation.
Yeah.
That's not just, you know, you pissed me off, so I'm going to slap you in the face. Like that's.
Mm-hmm. Or then, like my boss pissed me off or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I didn't get that promotion. Boom. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like.
I feel bad about myself. Let me make your life hell so I can have some semblance of power.
Yep, it's all about control and power.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just disgusting that anybody would say that someone deserved it or about time. I don't care how much you don't like someone. That's just not right.
Yeah. I hope my former roommate is having the life they deserve.
I love that. I hope you have the day you deserve. Mm-hmm. That's my...
Yeah, because like, if you're like a decent person, you're gonna be like, thanks. Whereas, you know, if you've just done something shitty, you're like, you motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It that is very like situational. If you are a decent person, you're like, oh, thank you. And mm-hmm. if you know you're a piece of shit, you're like, oh, that was mean. And yeah. it's like, well, it wouldn't be mean if you weren't shitty.
Yep. Yep. Not sorry. I'm not even gonna say sorry, not sorry. Yeah, we'll switch gears here a little bit. And
well, I mean, it is a feminism podcast too, so
yes
not too far off topic this yes. time.
Oh, I just meant switching gears from like AEW stuff over into WWE. I will say that stupid reality show, I was mostly annoyed at like the Ass Boys. The best part about them very much so was Danhausen.
I love him.
Yeah, yes.
I just recently watched you an older video and I think a newer one of him and
Orange Cassidy?
No, Lance Archer.
Oh.
Where he kept calling him Murder Bird.
Oh yes.
And Lance Archer was just saying like Murder Bird over and over. And and when Danhausen stepped up on the bench to try to be as tall as him, and then Archer stands up too, and like he's just like, oh my god, that was one of my favorite things that I've seen of him.
Yeah, Danhausen is just like
gold,
a genius, absolute genius. Like talk about making your own luck.
Mm-hmm.
Like brilliant.
He's so funny, and mm-hmm. like it's like stupid humor, but then it's not at the same time. I don't know. He's just, it works. Whatever he's doing, it's working. And I'm seeing that he is someone that you either love or hate, and there is no in between.
No. I love all the people who are like, who is Danhausen? Why is he everywhere now? And people are just like, very good, very evil. Send him all your money.
Right. No swearing.
Yeah, no swearing.
I like when you see them come back later and like they'll comment again later and they're like, okay, I just watch some stuff, I get it.
Mm-hmm. I love how on like being the elite they had like the little thing of hooking, like, see, he's on the show. And then the little like Danhausen's in the back, like, see, he's on the show. They're both like just like making coffee and they're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nakazawa. See, yeah. We got him on the show. Are you shut up now? Yeah. Pretty much.
Yep. Because I mean, it might not work it for Hook's character, but Danhausen's going to be all over it.
Oh, he was made for BTE.
Like, yeah. Yes. Like they can do like a cross YouTube channel thing. Beautiful. Beautiful.
I can't wait to see some kind of interaction between Danhausen and Christopher Daniels, like new thing. Like that is what I want more than anything.
Actually, I can't wait to see Danhausen and Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. I also absolutely love the Adam Cole and
Silver and Reynolds.
Yeah. Oh. Like when he got into bed between them.
Brit.
And yeah, it's like, wait a minute. Hey. She's like, get the fuck out.
I know. When he's like, dude, do you want me to come over there? And she's just looking at him and he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently, Brian, my husband, was just showing me before I was leaving that after the match with Evil Uno, Adam Cole and Evil Uno did a little gaming thing together, and it looked like they made up. Uh-huh. And they're talking about how like the atmosphere in the room was bad, but the temperature was okay, and like it was funny. I'm interested to see how Adam Cole interacts with Dark Order going forward, especially with Hangman. That's like, if he's becoming like friends with like Silver and Reynolds, and there's the whole Hangman thing. And
did Silver and Reynolds like give up on War Daddy for were they just like, here's another pretty man, we can get into his bin?
I don't think so. I think it's just like, I think a thing with War Daddy is like they occasionally go back to him and like gush over how handsome he is, and like Wardlow's just like, thanks, and then that's it. Which is one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite Dark Order things too, is when they just gush over him.
Mm-hmm. I just love anything with like John Silver.
Oh my God, he is fantastic. And him and Anna on Twitter, like their little interactions, mm-hmm. I don't know if they still do as much as they used to, but like their little tweets at each other used to kill me. Like,
I don't like, and this is no shade to John Silver, I don't necessarily remember ever seeing a match of his, but he kind of has like Danhausen energy in that like he never needs to wrestle, and he is just,
oh, I like him in the ring. He's like,
I have a tendency, especially like getting into a new wrestling promotion, what I will do is skip to the matches that I know someone in.
Oh no.
And then I will, and like that's how I got into AEW. Like I started watching, I don't even remember who. But then like I remember I saw Orange Cassidy, and I saw, oh, actually, I just completely lied. The reason I got into AEW was right before COVID. I was doing a pickup for, I run a nonprofit, and we were doing, it was around Christmas, and we were doing an angel tree drive, and I was at 16th Ward, and with my co-director, waiting for people to drop off stuff. And she said, oh, Sabrina, that's wrestling up there. You like that, right? And I looked up and I was like, no, that's AEW. I don't watch that. But I can tell you that guy's a heel. It was MJF, and he had the scarf and Wardlow in the back. And she was like, how do you know that? And I was like, well, anytime someone's wearing a scarf, they're a heel. But also like everything about like his face and everything else. Yeah. And then like I looked it up on my phone. And then I like started watching his stuff online, and that's what got me into, yeah, MJF. I just realized MJF is what got me into AEW.
No, I was one of those people that could not wait. I started getting into all of that. It was when Jericho showed up in New Japan, because I had seen some New Japan beforehand, because Brian would watch it occasionally, and I didn't really know anybody, but the matches were cool. Like mm-hmm. they were just unlike anything I've seen in the States. Like their matches were just on another level. But I didn't really know anyone. I wasn't like super into it. And then Bri's like, you got to see what happened. And Jericho showed up to challenge Omega.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, wait, he's still at WWE. Like it was just so like unheard of, because nobody from WWE would go to any other companies. And like, oh, this is really cool. So I started like watching more of it. And like I'd see like Okada and Naito and like Kenny, like I started seeing like Kenny more and like the Bullet Club stuff. And I was like, okay, this is like so much cooler than anything I've been watching for the past few years. I don't know why I haven't been watching this forever. And then he was watching BTE. And when he was first watching it, I was like, what is this? And like, I just thought it would be something stupid. And like the Young Bucks cracked me up. I'm like, oh my God, these guys are so funny. And like the stuff with like Kenny and Cody and everything. And like even Marty, which I'm not going to lie, Marty was like one of, like Marty and Kenny were my favorites. Marty's girl.
Okay. Cause I was thinking of Marty.
Jannetty? No.
I was just like, wait.
No, I started watching all of that. And then, you know, they started doing like the countdown thing where when their contracts were going to run out. I don't know if you ever went back and watched like old VTE, but they, when they started the thing, what like the, you heard the ticking noises, like the clocks all the time. And I think it was Kazarian that was playing Triple H, like, you know, coming in, and you just saw the back of them and like all that stuff. And then there was all like, the, are they going to go there? What are they going to do? And I remember staying up and waiting for that VTE that happened that New Year's, where it was after, was it after Wrestle Kingdom? I think it had to have been, where the Bucks and Hangman met up, and the Bucks had the phones out, and it had like the All Out, and Hangman's like mind said something different, and it was the AEW logo, and like just lost it. And like I've been with them since the, like way before the beginning.
I was just I was like, I don't have more time to devote to wrestling. And that, and the fact that I think you're the only one that I knew that was watching AEW. So it wasn't like I had people who were like dying to talk to me about it either.
No, I cut out WWE almost completely. Like I was like, this is my company now.
Yeah. And like, I'm far too emotionally invested in, so, well, in WWE in and of itself. Like it's very much so like my self-care. So I'm much more forgiving than like other people are. Hi. But I think I also, like, I definitely realize in general, compared to other wrestling fans, I have a much more like go with the flow, like the glasses three quarters full type of attitude. And I think one of the things that I like so much about WWE, at least right now, is like they have so many great female performers. And that's something I waited my entire life for.
I will give them that. Their women's roster is better. AEW has made improvements, but they still have a lot of work when it comes to the women. WWE's is better. They're not perfect either.
No.
I mean, old NXT, they had the best women's around. That was like the goal. Like that, they were the standard. That's what all women's wrestling should have been. But I mean, I'll admit when WWE does things that are good, like the RK-Bro and the Alpha Academy segment in the beginning of the show on Monday was hilarious. Like, it was just, I mean, it was good. It, honest to God, was good. And when they asked that question about the grams in an ounce and just watching like Riddle's eyes light up, like, oh, I got this. Like, it just, that, I mean, that was good. That was funny. There's stuff that they do horrible. Like, I'm so sick of great matches with shit finishes. And then that just puts a bad taste in your mouth for the whole match. Like, they are so good at like, this match is great, but let me just give you this shit, terrible, awful, horrible finish that's gonna leave you like, why the fuck did they do that? And then you just kind of go, oh yep, that's WWE, next match. And like
like, at least, like, because I know a lot of people were very upset with how Seth Roman ended, but that at least you can understand. Like, I'm not upset with how that ended specifically because of how Roman sold that shit.
No, that one made sense. Like, they do DQs way too much. They use that shit way, way too much. But in that case, with that match, that was understandable because they weren't going to have Roman lose. Because they want to do Brock versus Roman. They want to do title versus title, blah, 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 yada, yada, whatever. But also,
Paul Heyman on a pole is where it's at.
Yeah, right. I like that they kept it going, that he has still never beat Seth. So that was a good way for him to not come off looking like he lost. He lost through a technicality, and then him replaying, like reenacting the whole like Shield breakup thing. They never do long-term storytelling. They rarely do it. They do a couple times with The Miz because he's been there for so long.
Obviously, Charlotte and Becky. The four horsewomen, in general, anything with the four of them or like two of them interacting or whatever, that is just written itself.
But like otherwise, like other storylines, it's like, you know, every 2 weeks, boom, 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 different feud. Or, you know, you see the same match every week for 6 months, where I can watch Raw in November and not watch again until February. And I'm still going to see the Alpha Academy versus like RK-Bro. Like they're still going, you know. Like, but the whole Shield thing that they're doing now, like that. They don't do compelling long-term storytelling very well, and they are doing a good job with that, so like that's something I'll give them credit for.
Yeah, and like specifically with tag teams, they're limited in the tag teams that they have.
They break everyone up.
And the only tag teams that I can really stand seeing, I could see the Usos versus the New Day
1,000 times. Yep,
give me more. I will gladly watch it. Because it's different each time. It's beautiful each time. Like,
cause they're two of the best tag teams in the world. Honestly,
I think ever. Yeah. Like it's genius.
New Day, the Bucks, like as far as modern tag teams, like the Young Bucks, FTR, like
I never liked FTR.
I don't like them in the way that you're not supposed to like them, as in the fact that they're heels, but as far as like their in-ring skills, they are one of the best tag teams.
They're
a throwback.
I've never liked them, with the exception of I was at a live event that wasn't like, and by live event, I mean it not televised at all. Mm-hmm. And they were just hilarious, like hysterical. I loved it. Like at one point, I remember the referee like jumped in their arms. Like it was beautiful. I loved it.
I'll always respect the one for punching the shit out of the guy that attacked Bret Hart at the Hall of Fame that year.
Yeah, this is not to say that I don't like them. it's just to say that like they would not make my top 20 favorite tag teams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Go.
Maybe right now, because I don't know if I can name 20 tag teams.
Well, I mean, just go to AEW, because that's basically all. They are very tag team heavy.
They're very stable heavy.
Yeah, that too. Whereas WWE, you can tell that Vince doesn't give a shit about tag teams.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry, there is a cat somewhere making a noise.
Sounds like outside the door.
Yeah. Yeah, he does not care at all.
And it's sad because tag team wrestling could be great. Like, it could be the most fun match of the night. Just look at the New Day and the Usos. There were so many pay-per-views where they had the match of the night by far, that they were miles ahead. I don't know why tag teams aren't invested in more. And then you have all these makeshift little tag teams that you'll have together for 4 months, and then you break them up because God forbid anybody can ever stay together.
Yeah.
And
sometimes like RK-Bro is an exception. Like usually that doesn't work. And like, the Dirty Dogs aren't bad.
They're meh to me.
Yeah, they're not bad. Like they're good workers because they're both good workers. Yeah. Which I will say, so I am a Dolph Ziggler fan, which is funny. I actually have a Bobby Roode shirt from I purchased it, but it came with a Russell crate from back when I got the WWE Slam crate. And it's like when he did the whole like glorious, like right when he had come up from NXT. And I have like zero Dolph Ziggler merch. I have over 30 wrestling t-shirts. Zero of them are his.
Nobody else has his merch either, so don't feel bad.
I don't like those designs. I don't know. Yeah. Like for a long time, it was like the trucker mud flap things. But anyway, also like zebra print's not my thing.
If it's something that I would feel embarrassed to wear out in public, I'm not going to buy it. That's kind of how I feel.
I did learn the hard way that like my New Day shirts, because I have the New Day version of this shirt, which is the original version. But I learned the hard way, like if I'm wearing those shirts in public, I have got to be prepared to interact with other wrestling fans, because they will interact with me.
I gotta tell you the funniest story about that, so we'll go a little off the rails. So the summer before the pandemic, so it was the summer of 2019, My family and I, we usually go on vacation in the summer to Wildwood, New Jersey. Shout out to any other East Coasters. And we stopped to get gas like the day before we were leaving, just so we didn't have to stop the day we were leaving. And we went to a Wawa again, shout out to, you know, the PA Jersey area. So we went to a Wawa and I'm in there and I'm getting a coffee. And all of a sudden this kid comes up to me and he didn't speak a lot of English, but I was wearing a Kenny Omega shirt. It was his Bullet Club one, mm-hmm. that looked like the video game one. And he just said, like, in very, you could tell, like, a very heavily accented, like, broken English, just went too sweet. And I was just, at first, like, I was like, oh, what's happening? And then I looked down and I remember what shirt I was wearing. And I was like, oh, and I just too sweet at him. And like, that was like the coolest interaction I had randomly with another wrestling fan, even though it confused the hell out of me for a minute because I didn't remember what shirt I was wearing.
Yeah, like I had a group of bros encase me, like, and start doing like a slow clap and then doing New Day Rocks. New, because I was like terrified. It was at night and I was going into bar. Or like I was walking by a bar. I wasn't going into a bar. So I wear my wrestling shirts to bars. That's how I pick up men. Someone does that. And they just like. Nyeh.
Oh God. At first I'd be like, oh, so this is how it ends. Where's
my
pepper spray?
I was just like, yeah. And then they started doing that. I was like, huh. Yes.
Bye. Oh good. I'm not being dragged into a van and being killed. Yay.
Yes. New Day does wrong. They like women to live. Yeah.
That's actually kind of wholesome though. It just
Yeah.
And a lot of times our men don't realize that a group of strangers coming up to you at night is scary because it's not as scary for them.
I drunk of like a group of drunk frat boy looking. They were all super tall, like at least or at least average height. I'm very short. And I was just like,
yeah, everyone above 5'5 is tall to me. So
yeah, I think it's like 125 pounds. I was like, they're going to have no problem like moving me wherever.
Oh.
Fire.
Yeah, I don't think that a lot of, I know that the guys in my life do because I've explained that, but yeah. I don't think a lot of guys understand how it is kind of scary to be a woman out alone at night because you don't know. And if you're going by a bar and a group of men start surrounding you, the last thing that you're going to think is that they're going to start clapping New Day Rocks. You're going to think that you're going to be dragged behind an alley and possibly like raped and murdered. That's literally what goes through your head is, oh, okay, well, this is it. Like,
yeah,
this is the end. This is how it ends.
Like, I wonder if I can crawl up this building.
Can I Spider-Man up here?
Yeah. Like, and it was just like, and you know, and they did that. And like, I like continue to walk through them. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, thank you for being normal.
Thank you, New Day, for this experience.
Yeah, my experience wasn't as scary as it was confusing because I was just tired. It was morning and I didn't realize that kind of like the Kenny shirt was on. Yeah. And here's this random boy coming over to me like this.
Yeah. I will say the flip side of that is I have the Becky Lynch shirt where it looks like she's the devil and it has like the upside down star and all of that. Mm-hmm. I wear that one in a Rhea Ripley shirt when I'm like traveling by myself because I'll go it's five and a half hours to go see my best friend by car, so I'll just pop in to my car, you know, on a whim. Mm-hmm. No. and drive up, so I always wear that to those shirts to make me less approachable. So and the funny thing is like I do catch the looks of like, oh. And it was like the second or third time I was seeing a different friend's boyfriend because they, I was stopping to see my one friend Hannah in Connecticut and I completely forgot that I was wearing, she knows that I do this because it's something I've done for years. Like I'll wear like some weird shirt. And her boyfriend's like staring at me and I finally realized it was the shirt and I was just like, oh yeah, this is a wrestling shirt. It's Becky Lynch. And he was like, oh, thank God. I was wondering why you were wearing Beelzebub. I was like, yeah. It was like the second or third time I had met this man. So I'm sure he's like, oh my God.
Another person that thought you were in a cult.
Yeah. Yeah. That he had like let into his home.
And in a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Different kind though. Far more expensive, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the only other thing I really want to talk about, or I think that we had talked about talking about, was
Lita.
Lita.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is going to be facing Becky Lynch at what is Elimination Chamber. And so it can go one of two ways. Like she's losing either way, but it's either like the retirement match that she should have had a decade ago, or we're looking at a series of matches where, or maybe not even matches. Like I would also be very happy if she like had sort of the retirement match and then like stayed around and kind of did what she did for the Hardys back in the early 2000s. Late 90s, maybe?
I think more late 90s.
Yeah. Many moons ago.
Yeah, we were very young when and we were full of hope.
Yes. Where, because love Lita to death. She does not have the best mic skills. And that's not necessarily her fault, because women were given the mic for like a solid minute a year when she was coming up. So
unless you were a manager.
And yeah, and even then, like Terry was a manager. How many times did Terry talk?
It comes to mind with me is like Sherry, like Sensational Sherry, like stuff like people like her, which I loved her as a kid. Like, yeah, like loved to hate her. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think like I just remember Terry talking about Moppy. I mean, well, no, because Ivory was wrestling. When she was part of Right to Censor, she talked a lot.
It was great.
Molly Holly talked a lot when she, but that was part of her gimmick. China never got to talk until she started wrestling. Yeah. So like the manager, I'm trying to think of like female managers that really talked a lot. Because I mean, Stacey Keibler, I feel like didn't talk a whole hell of a lot.
Sherry was the main one that came to my head when we were talking about the other night. I didn't message it back, but I was thinking of, I thought of her and I was like, well, she was good.
Yeah. But I would love to see her like live. I had said this, like Liv Morgan, like goes for the title again. Like it's my last shot. And Lita's there in Liv's corner to be like the equalizer for when Becky cheats. Doesn't do anything other than that. And then Liv wins the title. You know, something simple like that.
I want to see it be like, I don't want to see her have a retirement match in Saudi Arabia, though.
No.
That's the only thing. Like, I want to see, like, I liked how Trish and Charlotte had their match. Mm-hmm. And Trish has been, I don't, she hasn't been back, has she?
Mm-mm.
That was the last time we saw her, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm
sure we will see her again.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. But I wanted to see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the passing of the torch thing, you know, like the top women of the last great generation to the top women of this generation. It just felt like it would be very like poetic and very beautiful to see, honestly. Yeah. And
the blonde and the redhead to the redhead.
Yeah. Also that too. I mean, Charlotte has been compared to Trish, but I think mainly because of that reason, two of the blondes that were, you know, women's champions. And I can see more of a comparison with Lita and Becky, you know, the redheads, and more of like how Becky was like, you know, the steampunk, how she was, and Becky was more rock and roll, and, you know, Charlotte was more grand and the queen. And it would have been really cool to see like those parallels.
Yeah. Even Becky now is more rock and roll, like with her outfits and stuff. Becky's style.
She's glam rock now. She went from like steampunk to
she's beautiful
to like grunge beautiful. When she was the man. And now she's like glam rock. Like she is Elton John and David Bowie right now. Like
anytime she comes out looking like a disco ball, I am there for it. Like, put more glitter on. Yes. More hollow. I'm here for it. Yes. Good job.
I do kind of miss just like the man, just like the leather jacket and the jeans and the I'm going to come down and kick your ass and leave thing. Like,
the easiest cosplay ever.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That's an easy Halloween costume with that thing that she wore 2 weeks, like not last week, but the week before on Raw. Like, I'm not wearing that on Halloween.
She looked like the queen as a wrestler.
She reminded me of Elton John. That's why I just said it, because I thought of like, that is something that I could have seen him wearing in like the 80s when he'd wear all those crazy costumes. And
I feel like she wore it better than he would have, but yes. Yeah, mainly because like I really dug how they had her hair.
The hair was cool.
That was bomb.
And then also with that shirt, anytime I see a puffy shirt, all I think of is Seinfeld. That's the, I don't want to be a pirate. Like, that's all I think of every time.
If you, have you seen the outfit she wears for the Stone Cold podcast?
I didn't see it yet, and I still want to watch it.
She looks like a pirate princess. like it's, yeah, pirate. Piratey.
I feel like Stone Cold loves Becky because this is not the first time he's done something with her. She mm-hmm. was on that reality show that he had.
Yeah, so was Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's very much a fan of their work.
Mm-hmm. I think he likes all the horsewomen.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, yeah, Stone Cold himself has come a long way. Mm-hmm. Very long way.
He's just living his best life right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just having the best time doing whatever the hell he wants. That's basically...
Yeah. And it appears he has put like his abuser ways behind him. Like, I know Deborah said that like he has contacted her like in the years since, and like he apologized to her, which I was shocked because it wasn't a public apology. Like, those are the genuine ones where it's like behind the scenes type deal.
Like Sammy with Sasha.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was happy to see that for Deborah. I was never a Stone Cold fan, but like, I think he's a decent interviewer. He's not the greatest. Jericho's better, but.
He does get some like cool stories out of people though. Like, he knows how to just, his interviewing style is more just like, we're sitting having a drink and having a conversation, which I think is cool. Like,
yeah. Oh, did you see the Dean Ambrose one?
Yep.
Yeah, that was
awkward. That was painful.
Yeah. Ooh. I turned that off because I was just like,
I guess Mox was pretty pissed about that one too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because I guess no one told him not to ask certain questions, mm-hmm. which is not Stone Cold's fault.
Yeah.
Like, if he wasn't told. Also, just an idea, if you don't want someone, like, if there's something in an interview that you really don't want asked, you should personally say to somebody,
yeah, can we not talk about this?
Yeah. Because that's the best way to make sure that person gets the message.
I think Mox was in a really bad place at that time though. Like, I think that was, it probably wasn't going to go well regardless of anything, because he just was not happy. That was towards the end. That mm-hmm. was when they had him in that stupid fucking gas mask. Like, do you not remember that? Because the crowd smelled, so he would wear a gas mask.
Oh yeah, I blocked that out.
Yeah, it was just not a good time, and you could tell that he was completely checked out. Like, he's just like, I don't want to fucking do this anymore.
Did you know that there's people who are into like gas masks sexually?
I'm not here to kink shame. I'm just here to kink ask why.
I just, like, whenever someone had told me about their interest. And so the first thing I thought of is like, how did you find that out? Like, that's always my question. I'm like, how?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the more, how can I say this nicely? Some of the more non-common. There we go. Like,
eccentric. Yeah.
I would always like to know that too. Like, how do you think, you know what? Like, I don't want to know.
Like, people who are into balloons, you interact with balloons frequently. Mm-hmm. I can see how you would figure that out. Gas masks, like, I've never interacted with one before. Scarlet. So
yeah, there's some things that I'm just like, how did you, but again, not here to kink shame.
No,
you let, as long as it's legal, like,
and consenting. Yeah, you know,
legal and consent, and you're an adult and with another consenting adult.
Although if you're into like Hitler stuff, I'm going to judge you.
Yeah, Well, okay, so legal, consenting, and morally, you know, on the right.
Yeah.
I'd rather hear that level. Somebody like pissed on someone than they were like into Hitler play.
Yeah. My neighbor used to be into that. I know, because I was friends with her boyfriend. Ugh. She wanted him to wear like a full Nazi uniform. That ended that relationship.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. And then I found out I lived next to a Nazi. I learned a lot from that conversation.
In this case, I'm here to kink shame. Wrong. Bad. Very bad.
Yes. Shame finger. Yeah. Shame finger. Yes. Hello, Scarlett.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww, purring. But yeah, Lita, I want to see a retirement match, but I don't want to see it in Saudi Arabia. So I guess I'm hoping that maybe this leads to a WrestleMania match where it's her retirement match.
Yeah.
And then if she rides off into the sunset, just like Trish did, I'm fine with that. Like, mm-hmm. like I was telling you, I kind of am past the point where I want to see the Attitude Era people anymore. It's depressing a lot of times because it's a reminder that we are also getting older when you see how much older they are and how they cannot move like they once did. And I don't like to be reminded of my own mortality when I'm watching something to escape reality. That's like, and like I was saying to you, I think that Mark Henry is perfect for how that they're using him. He is just there, little interview, guess it's time for our main event. And we'll see you next week when I say my little line again. Like, that's.
I think Taz is perfect for how they're using.
Yeah, Taz is another good example. And like, if they just had Jericho on commentary for Rampage, like they do, like, I'm fine with that. But a lot of the time, like, Sting makes me nervous when I see him in the ring because Sting is like 2 years younger than my father. Mm-hmm. So it's like me seeing my dad in the ring. And
you don't like seeing him like take bumps?
No, he would break a hip. like Lita, in the past few years that we've seen her, she has only had one moonsault that didn't make me cover my eyes and scream "Oh my god" out loud because I thought she was going to break her neck. That was just the one that she recently did. I don't want to see her do that because I'm going to close my eyes and scream "Oh my god" because she's going to nearly miss it and almost break her neck.
I know a lot of people are really hoping that like Jeff Hardy is the one to debut tonight. And I love the Hardy boys. I love them as individuals. I hope that they have long, healthy lives. Mm-hmm. If Jeff more so than Matt, like you can see like how stiff he gets because like he still does the stuff that he did. Like Matt has slowed down a lot. And I mean, Matt was always like, I will pull out a big move for this match.
Jeff was insane.
Yes.
Jeff was the Nick of, if you like the Nick, Jackson, if you want to compare them.
Yeah. And Jeff moves like he is the older brother and he's not.
Yeah.
Like,
he's also still doing swanton bombs off of 15 ladders. Feet ladders, like,
yeah,
that if Jeff does, so Jeff's not going to be there tonight as much as I would like to see it. He's still within his 90 days. Mm-hmm. So if we do see him, it's not going to be till next month. If they want to do one more match, just like, you know, Lita's doing one more match, you know, theirs will probably be with the Young Bucks. I'm sure if anyone's going to retire them, it's going to be the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to do one more match with the Bucks, yeah, I'd love to see it. Do your one more and then, okay, go live your life with your kids and please stop jumping from 20 feet because you're in your 40s now. And Jeff, you've been doing this since you were like 15.
Yeah. And it's so Matt and Jeff have never stopped really wrestling. Edge and Christian both stopped for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They healed up. Now Matt has wrestled. I would say Matt's wrestled smart. Jeff's insane.
Yeah.
And he does not need to die in that ring.
No.
No.
And I'm afraid that's going to happen if he keeps trying to.
Yeah.
Do what he's doing, because
I don't want to see his hip poking out of his pants. Right. Like,
It only takes one little slip. And Jeff is not old by any means, but the fact that he had started so young and has been putting his body through all of this since the 90s, and we're in 2022. Like, you can only go so long. And I know it seems like it's really hard if you're a wrestler to let go. Undertaker is a good example of this, that it must be like one of those professions that when you're in it, like, you just don't want to let it go.
Well, Ric Flair wants to get back in the ring, and no one knew that ever.
He'll die.
Yeah.
He will flat out die.
I kind of sometimes think that's his plan. Like, after Charlotte gets married, he's just going to be like,
yeah, die in the ring.
Ring, yeah.
It'll be like the end of The Wrestler, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Movie.
Yeah. Just, I was thinking like a Viking funeral, but yeah. Sorry. I've killed Megan.
Oh my god, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That went down the wrong way. That was the wrong kind of drink. One moment.
Oh, next week it'll be Sabrina and a corpse here.
Oh, and for my last appearance on Hello Ladies. Oh, okay, I'm better. Sorry, audio listeners. Like,
merci, John Cena, keep you.
Oh, hustle, loyalty, and respect. Next. Y'all to do. No, I'm excited to see Lita. I loved Lita.
Yeah.
I want it to be Lita. I wore a thong outside my jeans like a...
Oh, you were Becky Lynch. I just wore the fishnets. Like,
no, I did the whale tail because I wanted to be her. I specifically bought thongs at like 14 so I can be like her. Yeah. I remember going to the rave in the mall, and that's where I bought them. They were like $3 a piece. Like, hid them from my mother because I knew that she would murder me.
So, yeah, I did the same thing, which is why I did not do the whale tail.
That's why I started doing my own laundry. I was like, well, she can't see these. But yeah, I made up a lie that she shrunk a sweater. Well, she did shrink it. I didn't lie about her shrinking the sweater, but like, I said that that's why I was going to start doing my own laundry. Okay,
I thought, so in my brain, I was like, she found one of your thongs and you tried to pass it off as a sweater.
No, no, that would have been very impressive. No, she did shrink a sweater of mine though. And then I like played it up a lot that I was like, well, I'm going to do my own because you ruined my clothes. And Charlotte's really, like, I'm hiding my thongs. But like,
yeah,
and that was all Lita's fault. Start buying them because I wanted to have the whale tail.
Well, it's also so easy to do back then because jeans were like super low rise, so like any underwear you were wearing was popping out to begin with.
I mean, the fact that I was wearing like oversized Gap hoodies with it and you couldn't see it anyway, but like I was still like, I know I have it there.
I'm bad.
Like my own little secret. It's like, oh, these little straps are sticking out, but no, because I'm wearing a hoodie down to my knees. Like,
Megan's secret.
Oh, the 90s, the fashion.
So much of it's coming back.
Yeah, the flare jeans with my oversized Gap hoodie. That was a staple.
You mean that were soaked to your knee?
Well, I did have the JNCOs before I started wearing flares. I was definitely a JNCO kid.
Like, I just remember
the gel bracelets up
to did you ever do the thing where you would like interlace them and put them up your arm? Yeah.
And then remember those necklaces that were just like the steel balls?
Oh god, yeah.
Yep, had that.
I didn't have that. I had a bracelet though that were still steel skulls put together because, you know, I'm hardcore.
So I used to have, I'd wear the steel balls. And then I'd have an actual candy necklace.
Yep.
And then I had a ribbon that had a mini pacifier, a plastic pacifier on
it. You looked like a rave kid. Like, you probably, cops were probably looking at you like, is she on E right now?
And I used to take Kool-Aid and I'd get tinfoil and you would put Kool-Aid in your hair. And I would try to give myself red streak. You take the Kool-Aid and the tinfoil and a little bit of water and you'd wrap it all up and you'd get the hair dryer and you would just sit there with the hair dryer and then you'd have like a little streak of color in your hair from the Kool-Aid. 90s kids.
Yeah. Well, I think the bracelets were the early 2000s. I was in high school when I was doing that anyway.
No, I had them in middle school. That was between 96 and 99 when I was in middle school.
I was in elementary school.
Yeah, my little friends and I, we had a little group that we used to call the Cheapo Bracelet Posse, and we all had the little, yeah, we were real cool.
I was a goth kid in high school, so yeah, I lived a Hot Topic.
God, Hot Topic, I loved when that came out.
Yeah, which is why I identified so hard with like Lita and the Hardys, because mm-hmm. that was exactly what I wanted to like look like. Yeah. That's why I started like dressing goth, because I went to a school that was very privileged and I was not. So everybody else was like wearing like more expensive store brands, even though Hot Topic was quite pricey.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Jane clothes were like $60, and that was back then. My mother used to be like, absolutely not. So like I'd make my own money and buy my own.
Yeah, my trip pants I think were like $60 a pair at least. I only ever got two of them, which